The second trumpet judgment of Revelation unleashes something like a great mountain burning with fire. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hi, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. If you've been following along in this series, you know that we've been dealing with aspects of the tribulation mainly found in the book of Revelation. And we're going to continue with that today. We've covered the seven seals so far, and also the first of the trumpet seals. Now we're moving into the second trumpet. So we're going to pick that up in Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9, which says this: "The second judgment, the second trumpet judgment, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." Again, that's Revelation 8, 8, and 9. Now, it's important to note the words "something like" at the very beginning of verse 8, "something like a great mountain." That's John's way of saying that while it looked to him like a mountain, I'm sure because of its size, its structure, its bulk, well, he wasn't sure exactly what it was, because mountains don't fall out of the sky. He could be referencing a large asteroid or meteor. I mean, to John, it certainly looked like a mountain, and the damage it causes is instant. One-third of the sea becomes blood. One-third of the creatures die that are in the sea, and one-third of the ships are destroyed. Interesting. Now, so far, with just these two judgments, the first trumpet judgment and the second trumpet judgment, you'll recall in the first trumpet judgment, there was hail, fire, and blood coming down from heaven. And in the second one, we've got this great massive meteor, this mountain that is burning, which suggests an asteroid with a burning fiery tail. That was thrown into the sea, and one-third of the sea becomes blood, one-third of the creatures in the sea die, and one-third of the ships were destroyed. And I think that that's interesting. So far, with just these two judgments, one-third of the trees are burned up, one-third of the earth is destroyed, all the grass is gone, one-third of the sea turns to blood. And by the way, it does not say "like blood." It says "becomes blood." The third of the sea became blood. Didn't say "like blood." So we can assume that this is a plague very, very similar to the plague that Moses brought, or God brought through Moses onto the Egyptians, and the miracle of Moses being able to turn the Nile River into blood. Didn't say "like blood." Didn't look like blood. It was blood. So that alone will cause creatures to die, because blood is not a place where these creatures can obtain oxygen like they can in the water. But it's interesting also that one-third of the ships of the sea are destroyed. And someone may ask, well, what? They are not living creatures. How are they affected by this thing falling into the ocean? Well, put simply, think about it. If something large enough to look like a mountain to John were to fall into the ocean, wouldn't part of the result of that, even though it's not listed here in Scripture, wouldn't that result in tsunamis? I would think if an earthquake can disrupt the ocean currents to cause gigantic tsunamis that have killed thousands and thousands of people. We all know what it's like to drop a boulder into, or a brick into, a sitting body of water. The waves that it creates, the splashes, it just moves away from the center and out. Now, a huge mountain falling into the ocean? It's very, very possible that tsunamis are created, and very large ones as well. These would destroy, overturn, and sink any ship that's in its way. Now, that's my guess. Certainly the text doesn't say that, but we have to look at the results, the natural results, aside from the supernatural results of what's happening here. The natural results of something that large falling into the ocean would cause, in my view, large tsunamis. So that's something that we consider We need to keep that in mind. And though John doesn't mention it, it certainly may be what he saw and would certainly explain how the ships are destroyed. He simply tells us ships are destroyed. He doesn't explain how they were destroyed, even though he probably saw it. So I think it's safe to understand John's meaning here in the literal sense, as in most other places in Revelation. There's a natural explanation for why ships would be destroyed if something that large fell into the ocean. And so let's move along to the third trumpet, which the Bible tells us is a great star. And starting with this third trumpet judgment, we learn the following from Revelation 8, 10 through 11, regarding how the earth and its inhabitants are infected. Now, with the second judgment, it was mainly the seawater that was affected, one-third of it. One-third of the sea creatures were affected, and by happenstance, also one-third of the ships were destroyed. So obviously, in that area where the great mountain impacts the sea, everything is affected, but it's largely the sea life, the sea area. Now here, with the third trumpet, we're going to be talking about how people are affected because of this directly. So let's look at the text, Revelation 8, 10, and 11. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. So that's Revelation 8, 10, and 11. So we've got a star falling, and it is burning like a torch. Another type of asteroid or meteorite with a tail, a burning tail. It hits the waters. And what we've got basically is John sees this meteor, the asteroid, or a comet. And as it enters the Earth's atmosphere, it appears to burn like a torch, as most things would. We've seen this phenomenon with spacecraft coming back to Earth from outer space. We know that if the heat shield fails the spaceship on re-entry, the entire space capsule and anyone inside would be destroyed by fire. Now, there are plenty of artists rendering of this event. You can go look that up on the net. You've probably seen it in books and other places as well. That being the case, we know that what John saw was something approaching and entering Earth's atmosphere. And as it continued its journey through the higher elevations of Earth's atmosphere, the fire trail of the object likely grew brighter and longer. Now, the text tells us that this object, whatever it happened to be, whatever it was that John saw, landed on and affected one-third of the rivers and springs. Now, that's very interesting because most rivers, many if not all springs, are clean water, fresh water. But what happens is this tells us that this fresh water, the fresh water supplies of the earth, up to one-third, and there's that one-third again, will be affected. Whatever the object is, it manages to poison the waters that it affects. It's called wormwood. Because wormwood, during John's day, Jesus' day, the first century apostles' day, was a plant that made water taste very brackish. Drinking enough of it would make one sick. So if you were really thirsty and you kept drinking this, it could make you sick. And the word wormwood literally means bitter. And we need to understand that the text tells us that, quote, many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. This simply means that whatever toxin this falling star brings to Earth, it imperils one-third of the freshwater system enough so that drinking it becomes fatal to many people. Some people just get sick, others die from it. And let me bring up a quote here from Dr. Thomas Constable. This is what he says, quote, and he's referring to wormwood here. It was the name of a bitter herb that was fatally poisonous to some people and was a divine symbol of punishment. And he lists for us several scriptural references, Jeremiah 9:15, Jeremiah 23:15, Lamentations 3:15, and Lamentations 3:19, as well as Amos 7. Those are all references to wormwood and it being a symbol of divine punishment. He goes on to say, He, John, also points out that it should remind us of the judgment that God poured out on Israel in the wilderness. And we read about that in Exodus 15, unquote. Now, following this third trumpet judgment, the fourth trumpet occurs, of course. And that's highlighted for us in Revelation 8, 12. And that says this: the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, so that a third of them would be darkened, and the day would not shine for a third of it, and the night in the same way, unquote. Now, we bring up the one-third again. But the interesting thing here is that many judgments that occur during the tribulation period have an effect on one-third of the population, one-third of nature, or one-third of something else. It's at a time. It's one-third at a time. Here, with the fourth trumpet judgment, the fourth angel sounds, and one-third of the sun, the moon, the stars were affected. God literally turns out the lights, at least one-third. It's like dimming things. But of course, that's going to have a major catastrophic effect on the earth. We need to take the time to consider the results of one-third of the sun going dark. Not only will that greatly dim the heavenly lights, but it will also result in drastic changes in the environment, temperature, and weather. It's almost as if God is mocking the people of earth who continue to say that global warming is going to destroy the earth. Of course, that's been changed to climate change. Who can argue that climate doesn't change, right? Well, climate is always changing, but the purpose that they want us to understand is that global warming is destroying the earth. The earth is heating up. Therefore, we really need to be careful. But at one point in the tribulation, God says, fine, that's what you want to believe, believe it. But here's the reality. And he turns off one-third of the lights. What do you think that result is going to be for the temperature of the surface of the earth and for the climate here on the earth? It's going to have major changes. God is the one who controls things, as he controls everything. I don't think we can really imagine what will really transpire because of this fourth judgment. As a matter of fact, it would probably be a great idea for us to take each of these judgments, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls upcoming, and really just concentrate and think about what each of those judgments does and what kind of picture we can gain from it. Remember, John saw these things taking place, and I don't think that he was still adequately able to describe all of them. Let's go back to Thomas Constable, who says this, quote, "The text seems to imply that God will reduce the intensity of light from these sources by one-third." And he references Matthew 27:45, Jesus talking there. "Perhaps a partial eclipse or pollution in the atmosphere is in view. Such a reduction in light and consequently temperature would have a devastating effect on the earth," unquote. And as I say, I don't think we really know all that entails. Generally, I think we're simply reminded of time when we turn off the lights in our homes. It becomes dark, but the temperature doesn't really change. Of course, the sun is a different case altogether. It is the source of the earth's light and heat, and in essence, allows things to grow. Without it, there would be no life on earth. Science has long told us that the earth, if it were moved off its appointed place by only a few degrees, or the moon drew closer to the earth by a few degrees, havoc would be the result. When the sun goes dark by one-third, there will be havoc on the earth, period. It will not only be much darker, even during the day, but when this happens, other things will be affected. Well, we're going to end this here. Next time, we will get into the next woe that occurs, or the first woe, I should say. There are going to be three of them, but we'll talk about that next time. We'll pick it up in Revelation 8, verse 13. In the meantime, I really appreciate you joining me and listening to these events and these audio programs. Until we meet again, I just pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.